Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve the gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of Man." The book of Daniel, named after its writer, is an account of his time in Babylon as a Jewish exile from Israel. Daniel and some of his fellow Israelite nobles were taken as children and raised in Babylon as they were seen as useful to the conquering power. The book is filled with heroic examples of faith during a time of judgment in a foreign land. In later chapters, Daniel shares visions of when Israel's Messiah would appear and the events that would follow. In this verse, our heroes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, try saying that 10 times over and over again, it's tough, are faced with a great test of their faith. The king has created an image of gold and has ordered people of every nation and land to fall and worship this image. Those who disobey this order will be thrown into a blazing furnace. So this test of faith is simple, but it's not easy. Either bow down to the empire and remain safe, or remain faithful to God and almost certainly perish. The men, of course, choose to remain faithful. They tell the king they do not need to defend themselves to him and that their God will deliver them from any harm. The men are thrown into the furnace so hot that it kills the guards who throw them in. To the king's amazement, when he looks inside, he sees 3, not 4 men, unbound and unharmed inside the furnace. And 1, he says, looks like the Son of Man. God joined our heroes in the furnace, and they were in fact delivered. God is victorious over empire. This story is a great example of the faithfulness that can, it's a great example of faithfulness that can be a guide of how to deal with worldly pressures when they come in direct opposition with our faith. However, we have to be cautious in making this story about us. We have a tendency to do that with the Bible. We have a tendency to try to look for how the Bible fits into our story instead of looking at how we fit into God's story. When we make this story about us, it becomes a manual of how what to do to get good results. This shifts the focus from God to our works. Do you want delivered? Do you want salvation? Well then, do this and have great faith. Faith and salvation should not be connected in this way. For instance, what happens when you have faith and you do not receive the salvation that you expected? Why do we lose loved ones? Why do we get divorced or go bankrupt? Why do people become addicted? Why do people get cancer? Are we not faithful enough? Did we not do the things that God expected? Years back, I was preparing to join the police academy, and I decided I needed a little edge. I decided that martial arts would be that edge, and I started searching for a place where I could learn jiu-jitsu. I found a school, and I decided just to show up one day. No gear, no uniform, no experience, just showed up and walked through the door. Immediately, I was struck because on the wall there was a painting of a Bible verse that I wasn't familiar with at the time. For we wrestle not of flesh and blood. My faith was weak at this point. I was dealing with financial troubles, marital issues, job dissatisfaction, and I think in addition to looking for a place to increase my martial arts skills, I was looking for much more. I was greeted at the door by the school's owner and lead instructor, Peter. I was welcomed at the school and was excited to get my training started. Over the next few months, I learned a lot about jiu-jitsu, and I learned even more about the people I was training with. Peter and his wife, Sarah, ran the school together. They were a faithful Christian couple with two very young children. They exuded their faith and love for God. The school was filled with every type of person. There were men, women, older people, younger people. There were business executives, firemen, recovering heroin addicts, and of course, wannabe cops. Beyond teaching martial arts, Peter and Sarah poured themselves into their students' lives. They helped people set and reach goals, and whether that was winning an MMA fight, weight loss, or continued sobriety. Peter and Sarah taught me what it meant to love your neighbor without ever reading me a Bible verse. Years passed, I became a police officer, I overcame many personal battles, and I was working on maturing my own faith. I no longer trained at Peter and Sarah's school, but we still kept in touch. One day I received awful news. Sarah was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was late stage and very aggressive, and the outcome looked very bleak. My heart broke for their family. I reached out to Peter to ask what I could do to help Sarah and his family. I asked what services, what resources they might need, and Peter told me they were okay, and they were at peace, and all he needed was prayers. So I prayed. I remember thinking that between their own great faith and all the prayers from all the people that they had helped, surely God would see them through and deliver them from this disease. A short time later, I heard that Sarah had lost her battle with cancer. While this was the most probable outcome, I couldn't believe it. How could people of such great faith not be spared, not be delivered from this pain? This shook my own faith. It didn't seem right. They had lived their life right. They had done the things they were supposed to do. Why wouldn't God step in? I didn't know it, but Peter still had another lesson to teach me. Peter's faith was not hurt through this time. He remained faithful to God, and despite this tragic outcome, he trusted in God and continued to love him. Even though he was not spared this tragedy, Peter knew that God was always with him. In our verse, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tell the king, "Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not serve your gods." Even if he does not. Their faith is not payment for a good outcome. These men in the Bible realize that by surrendering their future to God, God is victorious. They understand that their salvation is not physical. It is knowing that their God will always be with them. God could have spared them the furnace, but instead he crawled into the flames with them. We all face tough times and tragedy. With everything going on in the world recently, it sometimes feels like there are no immediate solutions to our problems, no salvation. It becomes tempting during these times to turn away from faith. It starts to look like maybe just bowing to the gold image offered by the empire might be the easier path. fight that temptation. Keep your faith. Know that your God is always with you. While God is not going to walk you around the valley of the shadow of death, know that he will always be with you and comfort you. Amen.